Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts the Restoration offers for today's world. We aim to feature a variety of guests with roots in the Restoration tradition from Community of Christ and our friends from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The music has been provided by Ben Howington. You can find his music at mormonguitar.com. Hi, welcome back to another episode of Project Zion. I'm glad that you're listening in for another episode. This is Josh Mangelson, and with me today is Sean Langdon. Sean is up in Eugene, Oregon. He's part of the Greater Pacific Northwest Mission Center, and he is employed by Community of Christ, and he is a youth ministry specialist. We're just going to go over, start off about his life, because Sean, you grew up in Community of Christ, right?
Yes, I did.
So we'll just talk about your experience growing up in the church and what your own youth experience was, and we'll start from there.
Okay. So I grew up in the church, kind of north of the Seattle, Washington area, where I'm from. I'm a fourth member, fourth generation church member. I actually just recently was corrected by my mother about that. I always said that I was a third generation, and she reminded me that my great-grandmother was a member of the church. But I was raised in a congregation in Everett, Washington that later went through some changes and sold their building and moved to a congregation in Marysville, Washington. And just throughout my life growing up, my experience with growing up in Community of Christ just was I always felt loved and accepted as part of the body. My parents were divorced, so I was raised by a single mother, though my dad was in the picture. But it was my mother that had the church connection, so we kind of we grew up in her church, and we were always supported. If there was something going on in our lives, if we were having some difficulties, whatever it might be, the congregation there and the people there were ready to respond. I remember a period of time where there was some financial struggles growing up, and some members of the congregation would drive us to and from church on Sunday morning to make sure that we got there. Or they would even sometimes take us out, to eat for a quick bite afterwards before taking us home. And so there was definitely a spirit of generosity that always was passed on down to us.
Just you and your mom, or did you have other siblings too?
So I have two brothers. So there was three of us kids, and then my mother. Yeah.
Okay. Well, excellent. Yeah, I like hearing about people in the congregation helping out like that. And sorry, I don't know where to transition from there, but I guess you've been through all the experiences as the church has changed, growing up in the, I'm guessing, the later 80s and through the 90s. So you've seen like the name change of the church, and you've seen women being ordained for the first time. You've also seen the recent changes with LGBTQ+ individuals. I just want to have you talk about some of those experiences too.
Right. Okay. So I was born in 85. So the females being ordained in the church, it really was, it's always been a part of my background in the church. I never really knew any differently than that. When I was a young teenager, my mother and both my grandmother were called to various respective offices in the church. That's always been a part of it. I was actually a delegate I was just attending at 15. At the 2000 World Conference for Community of Christ, where we changed the name of the church, and where we voted on that. And I remember it being kind of a celebratory time for us, to kind of, you know, cast a new vision as we moved forward. And I think a lot of the changes that have happened since then were able to happen because of just focusing on the community aspect and that Christ calls us together and to open up our community to others is a powerful, powerful thing. Also then, you know, moving forward with other changes that have happened. And I should also clarify that, you know, being raised in from the Northwest, kind of the Seattle area, we didn't experience a lot of the maybe issues that there were with some of the changes that happened in other areas that other areas of the church would have experienced. So my experience is much different than somebody growing up in like the Independence, Missouri area would have experienced with some of those changes, of course, as well.
Are you just saying that because on the West Coast, it's just typically more progressive to begin with?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Kind of, you know, our cultural norm and what's important to us and what isn't important to us is I find quite different, especially as a teenager. I found that out and growing up into my early young adult years with other areas of just the U.S. church, let alone around the world. But, you know, you sometimes go into the Midwest, it was a totally different, you know, way of looking at community of Christ because some of those things that were not important to us were really important to some of them when it comes to changes in the church and how we do church and stuff like that. So,
right. And then when we were just talking preliminary, you did say you had a few things that you wanted to share about the recent changes with the LGBTQ plus people within the church and why that's meaningful for you specifically.
Right. So I was something like 5 or 6 years ago, I was at one of our church campgrounds, Samish Island, and my mother came to visit me and wanted to go for a walk, talk to me. And it was in that moment that she essentially came out as lesbian. And so we kind of led up to our national conference for the USA and Community of Christ, where we came to a place of common consent when it comes to ordination of individuals in same-sex relationships or allowing our ministers to perform marriages for same-sex couples. And so for me, going into that, my mother decided she met somebody who she wanted to marry, and I have a great stepmother. And they were married in a courtroom because it was before our church changed their policy. But a few months after that, we did change our policy or, you know, voted to change it. Uh-huh. And for me, yeah, it was definitely, you know, there was a lot of pride in my faith community at that moment to know that they were to a point where they could accept my mother fully as who she was. And my mother has, you know, again, was born and raised in the church. She was priesthood because, you know, she was called before she was came out and was in a same-sex relationship.
Right.
But still, that moment of just pure joy when we made that decision 3 years ago.
Yeah, I could only imagine. I could only imagine just for you how close it hits to home. So I'm assuming she's still active.
Yep. And actually before they were even married, her wife, Judy, joined our church as well. And the very first confirmation that I gave as a minister was for her.
Awesome.
And so that was a really neat. Their pastor and I confirmed her. And so that was nice to have that as part of my experience and hers as well.
That's absolutely awesome. That's just kind of like a turn of events for the kid to be doing that, you know, like
yeah.
The tradition I grew up in, it's usually the parent that's doing that for their kids, you know, so.
Right. That's true.
So yeah, what led to you to want to work for Community of Christ? Like what led into employment with the church? And then specifically what led you to want to work with youth?
Right. So part of my story growing up is not only feeling included in the generosity of the people, but generosity through them, how they interacted with me and mentored me. So I grew up in an environment where whenever I wanted to do something in the church, They worked with me on a place, the leaders of the congregation did, so that I could kind of fulfill that desire and be able to serve, whether it was helping, you know, lead a congregation retreat at like age 13 or 14, to direct, taking over as director for it at age 15. And just a lot of other roles in the congregational life. They would really were very deliberate about working with me on maturing my faith and my discipleship. And just some experiences I had with that growing up in a congregation that was like that, and growing up attending camps, and our youth camps are a big part of Community of Christ, and really feeling connected to the Spirit there and to the people, and opportunities to grow in my faith because of those, attending those, that I really wanted to, I really felt a desire to do that, you know, as my calling, that was a calling in life that I wanted to live out, that there was a deep desire to serve. And, I felt so, I grew up to, you know, feeling so passionate about Community of Christ. And since that time, just more and more so, I worked out of high school for some other jobs, and then for a nonprofit that was affiliated with the church at one time. And then eventually our mission center president out here, you know, invited me to join staff in the role of overseeing our youth camping program. So I didn't come into it at first directly as a youth ministry specialist, but kind of through the window of youth camping. And that was something that I was really passionate about, and wanted to help, you know, kind of continue this legacy that affected me as a child and as a teenager growing up, and impacted my life, and knowing that it had the power to then, you know, impact a lot of other lives moving forward. I couldn't help but want to, you know, respond to that invitation and to that call to work for the church, which has then led into other, you know, expressions of ministry with youth ministry specialists. So not just youth camping, but beyond that, I also work as the mission coordinator for my mission center, as well. So there's aspects of that. So,
and is that just specifically for your mission center?
Correct. Correct. I am the mission coordinator for the Greater Pacific Northwest Mission Center, out here. So I work with, you know, congregations and, on issues related to mission, and also with our 70 ministers, of which I am also a 70.
Oh, okay.
And helping congregations engage in mission. So, and that's kind of a new role for me, so I'm right. Just kind of now exploring that. But
so how long have you been a 70?
I was ordained a year and a half ago.
Oh, okay.
And then I just, as of January 1st, transitioned into the role of mission coordinator. So,
and up to this time, how long have you been working for the church?
It would have been, I believe it was 2012, January 1st, 2012, that I started.
Yeah, I forget that. Like, so most jobs start at the very beginning of the year, or is it like right on the calendar year that's when new roles happen, or?
You know, for us it was because we approve our budget in the fall. And so, I think throughout the church, especially when ministers are paid locally, like I am, through my mission center, I think that those jobs probably tend to start happening January 1st. A lot of transitions that happen in the church also happen around, you know, the end of the year to the first of the year. So, yeah, I would imagine that's probably pretty common.
Well, excellent. To transition, one of the things that I do know about, we had one of our local youth last summer attend. It's called SPEC, and that happens back, isn't that up in Iowa? It's at Graceland. Right. So, yeah, that's up at Graceland in Lamoni, Iowa. And every summer they have what is known for youth called SPEC, and that's short for spectacular. For those that don't know what spectacular is, are you involved with that, and what's that all about?
Yeah. So spectacular is kind of a week-long Community of Christ-sponsored sports, arts, worship, and leadership camp for high school youth, and so youth that are currently in grades 9 through 12. And it's at, like you said, Graceland University, which is our church-sponsored university in Lamoni, Iowa. And youth and staff from all over the U.S. and Canada come to that event annually in the summertime. And every 4 years or so, there's international kind of SPEC and International Youth Forum prior to SPEC as well. But for the, you know, spectacular experience, it's we come in delegations based on the area that we're at. So I'm one of the leaders for the Northwest delegation, which is essentially all of our kind of church members in Washington, Oregon, Alaska, Idaho, Montana, parts of Wyoming, the northern part of Utah, so the Salt Lake City area is in our delegation. We also have some people from British Columbia that come and join us in our delegation. But delegations travel kind of from all over to Grayson University for this event. And we there's a lot of sports. There is a heavy focus on sports and it's playing different sports like volleyball and basketball and soccer and softball. But also there's, you know, sports like wrestling and ping pong. And there's also quiz bowl as well. So though sports is a big, you know, aspect of it, the awesome thing about SPEC is that you don't have to be an athlete to participate fully in it. There's a lot of other opportunities for the arts as well, and singing and acting and playing your instrument. There's other classes that you can take. There's worships. But even if you're not an athlete, they have different kind of levels based on your skill, where you're at. So there's, you know, blue level, which is kind of, I just want to have fun. I don't really have any experience with the sport, up to gold level, which is more of the competitive. But even while we're at SPEC, we try not to have a real competitive aspect to it. It's still supposed to be kind of in the spirit of community and also fun and, you know, good sportsmanship. So, you know, I know for me, I went going to SPEC as a teenager. That was one of the things that kind of changed my vision of the church and how I interacted with the church, because you know, I wasn't a sports person growing up, but I went there and I played volleyball on the blue team. And you know, the very first year I was there, we did horrible. We lost like every single game, but that was okay because it was so much fun, and there was such an accepting environment. The next year I went back and we won almost every game and got a gold medal for winning in our division. So I don't know. It's really cool. And they also bring in, you know, they bring in various, guest speakers. And so we had, a couple of speakers, for example, last year who, came from some different backgrounds. One was, an African pastor, African American pastor in, I think the Chicago area. And she just was on fire and just brought us energy. And she wasn't Community of Christ, but she brought this energy to the event. And I thought it was cool for, everybody to get to experience that. And then we had this, another minister from California, that, had a book, I think that was called, his name is, Bruce Reyes Chow, and had a book that was called, I Don't See You as Asian, or something like that. And kind of that, well, what does that actually mean when you say that? And so there was just all these great conversations about race and, you know, and, how we interact with each other and becoming aware of each other. And, SPEC is a great opportunity for that to happen, where you get to learn more about yourself. You get to learn more about others. It's also the very first opportunity, really, that a lot of kids in our church have to get to know people from around the church outside of their area.
Right.
So it's and you build lifelong friendships that, you know, we have staff members that now staff our delegation that, you know, I'm thinking of one in particular where she's still in contact with friends that from Florida, you know, that she made when she was a camper at SPEC. And so it's just really, you know, cool to be able to get that kind of that bigger picture for what it means to be a part of Community of Christ, which then on our, you know, international years, when we have International Youth Forum just prior to SPEC for the same group of kids, but then there's also people there from all over Europe and Australia and the French, you know, French Polynesia and Hawaii and Asia that kind of come in for that. And it's just an awesome because you get, you know, again, these youth get to see different cultures worshiping together and learning together. And we have small group ministry throughout that time to get to know each other deeper and ourselves deeper. And then we all go up and play sports together for a week and worship together for a week and take classes together. So, also such a cool experience, you know, and I have kids that went to SPEC the last time we had the international one, and I still see them on Facebook interacting with friends that they made in Europe and friends that they made in Australia. In fact, one of the kids from Europe came out to visit kind of the Northwest last year and met up with some of those kids as well. So
nice.
It's just cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you said that prior to talking that IYF, International Youth Forum, happens every 4 years, whereas the SPEC happens every summer?
Correct. Yeah, SPEC happens every summer, IYF about every 4 years. And they also have, Community of Christ does sponsor IYF at other locations. They have one, because of the cost to get everybody here.
Right.
They do have, like, they have one in Africa, I think, usually, and one in South America. So that way that there's, it's not as far to travel, but then they still get to meet with other youth. In those areas, and they're mainly for the kind of members and friends on that, you know, continent where they're located. But those opportunities are still given for those that can't travel to the U.S. For such an event.
Right. Okay. So my wife has been involved with some of the youth camps that they do locally at the campgrounds that we have here up in Huntsville, Utah. And you said, as far as like SPEC is concerned, that's high school age. So everything before that, before high school, is just youth camps locally, and then like their local reunions.
Right. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, for example, out here we have three church campgrounds that are within our mission center throughout Washington and Oregon, and They start at 8 years of age, kind of going into the third grade. And usually there's different, it depends on where you're at in the church. Each kind of mission center does it differently based on the needs of their area. But the way we do it is that usually it's kind of elementary age camp and junior high middle school camp, kids together for an experience. And then there's still a senior high camp, even though they're SPEC. And then, like, out here, we also have a caravan as well for senior high kids. So there's actually, like, three summer camp opportunities for senior high kids. And it's not the same with every area, but
right.
There's still a lot of areas that kind of offer those different opportunities.
So with your job, do you mainly focus on high school age kids, or is it more broad than that?
Yeah, my focus primarily is with high school age youth. I have staffed other ages, both before I worked for the church and since I've worked for the church. But I primarily it's just with high school youth that I tend to focus on as a youth minister.
Okay. I think this is a good point to bring up something that's a little bit tougher to talk about. Especially from the perspective I have coming from where I did, it's just, I was unaware, and I guess Community of Christ kind of follows a lot of the other Christian churches as far as trending with, youth and keeping in, millennials in the church as well as, people that are my age, et cetera. And I just wanted to bring up that unsavory fact that it seems like with certain congregations, there aren't a whole lot of youth.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely within Community of Christ, with all the hard changes that have happened in the last 30 years, a lot of people that are my age, like from their 50s on down, are no longer active. And it's just, I guess what I want to ask is, have you considered what might be driving youth away in Christianity as a whole? I don't want to just focus on only Community of Christ, but Christianity as a whole. And then what are we doing in Community of Christ specifically to make our community a welcoming experience where youth feel like they're valued, that they belong there, and that they would want to be a part of us?
Right. So, I mean, and there's definitely Community of Christ, you know, has been in the same boat that a lot of, you know, other Christian denominations find themselves in, with kind of youth not staying engaged in the church, especially into their young adult years. But with, you know, the way the culture is, there's a lot, parents tend to give a lot more freedom, I think, than they once did, with letting youth decide whether or not they come to church or not. For them, for one, their parents, although, you know, a lot of times have become disengaged. One of the interesting things out here that I noticed with our youth camps, especially in some areas of our mission center, a lot of the youth that come, their families are not necessarily engaged in congregational life anymore.
Right.
The youth camp experience was so powerful that their kids keep sending their parents keep sending the kids back. But they're not involved in congregational life. And I think that that's a few things. There's not one, you know, answer for it all. I think that there was obviously an issue with, feeling judged. And that, you know, Christianity was more about a list of do's and don'ts, and if you were in the don't category, if you did the things that the church told you not to do, that you were shunned, or that you felt kind of ostracized, and that you needed to sin, you know, repented your sins, you know, for example, I guess would be a way to, you know, say that. It became easier, I think, after a while to just, you know, I don't say this with judgment, but, you know, it became kind of easy to just say, I'm done. I can be a good person elsewhere. And, so youth now, I think, are kind of raised. I think where we're at now with youth is because a lot of their parents were in that generation that was like, you know, as the church was, for them was kind of more, judgmental. And we're obviously still in a lot of places within, you know, the Christian community where that's kind of the portrayal of Christianity. It's, you know, it's what makes the headlines,
right?
Not the good stuff, not the welcoming stuff. You have to be a really big church to, you know, to change your policy on some things to make the headlines in a positive light. But it's all the negative stuff that tends to come, you know, on our computer screens and in the newspapers and on TV and stuff like that. So that certainly doesn't help. I think that, you know, a lot of the issues that were important to previous generations in the church, in society, you know, our youth they're not important to that, to them. For example, you know, talking about, LGBT, and, you know, full inclusion into the church, you know, a lot of our youth, even if they're raised in a home that maybe isn't, as supportive, because there's interactions at school and stuff like that, I noticed that they tend to be more, you know, they just tend to be more accepted and open. Mm-hmm. So that when you have a church, you know, that might be telling them that their friends, you know, or relatives are not, you know, acceptable for where they're at. And usually it's done in a way of condemnation and not, you know, even when you have disagreements, it's not usually done in a healthy way to disagree. Unfortunately, our kids, our youth, they see that, they pick up on it, and, you know, then what's the point? You know, why would I want to be associated with that? Which kind of makes it tough, I think, also for a church, and of course I have bias here, but like Community of Christ, which, you know, really seeks to be accepting. And even when we fall short, you know, we want to learn from that and grow from that. And, but sometimes it's hard to kind of get that message out there when they're so used to hearing the opposite. And I think that, you know, in a lot of ways, it takes kind of a cultural shift to get to a point, you know, we can't do it overnight. And I think that that's, you know, for us to get youth back involved again, it's going to take a cultural shift that kind of happens over a generation, that, recognizes that, you know, maybe this isn't what Christianity is about. Maybe it is about, you know, love. Maybe it really is about love. Maybe it really is about acceptance and, respect. And, maybe that is what, you know, Jesus really taught us, instead of all this other stuff, all this other, you know, unfortunate teachings that go out there that kind of, cause youth to feel like it's, they don't want to be in a place where they just are going to be, kind of outcasted. They do that enough. There's enough opportunities in, you know, community life and schools for kids to feel bullied or feel that they are not, you know, by peers, that they're not, who they should be, let alone to come to a church and feel that. So, I think that that's, I think that's kind of where we're at. I also think there's also a relevancy issue, that a lot of, you know, that Community of Christ itself is trying to tackle and consider, as well as other churches. And that's, how do we, you know, with that background of this history of in the Christian church, over the past couple decades, where that's coming more and more to light, and there's been this shift, from a place of judgment to a place of, what are just, you know, basic principles for living, and living together. I think that, there's also, like, you know, how is the message of Jesus Christ relevant to today? And we went through this period, you know, the Christian church, where it was the attractional church model, kind of, if we build it, they will come.
Right.
And, you know, we wanted to have the nice properties and the nice buildings and the big bands. And, you know, in a lot of cases, that still works for a lot of people. But there's a lot of disaffected people that it doesn't work for.
Right.
And a lot of people that just don't care anymore because it doesn't work for them. It's not relevant to them. They, you know, they don't want to be entertained by church, essentially. And so, I think that, they want to see churches actually walking, you know, what they teach. They want to see them actually, you know, not just talk it, but actually walk it in their everyday life. And, it's hard because there's different, you know, generations, and but we're all, you know, that's part of that, you know, community thing is that, part of being a community is knowing how to, grow as a faith community, recognizing that we come from different backgrounds and we come from different, you know, perspectives because of all issues, but especially generations, and how I was raised in the church is going to be different than, you know, my grandparents' generation was raised in the church. And so it's hard to, I think, sometimes move us further and further away from that attractional model to more of the missional model of, discipleship and living out our church life. And, it takes some, you know, some deliberate, relationship building, across the different perspectives and, backgrounds to kind of move the church forward to a place where we can become all about, you know, walking the walk and not just offering, you know, lip service Christianity, which I think that's why a lot of people, especially youth, you know, if you're not being genuine, they can read that.
Yeah.
And so, if you're not being authentic and real with them, it's, they're going to know it and they're not going to want that. And so
So have you seen a lot of progress in your own life growing up in the church to where it is now? As far as like what you're talking about, the,
Right.
The Community of Christ harbor that model of build it and they will come, to where we're moving now with the more missional approach?
I think that there definitely is. I definitely have seen, you know, progress in that respect in Community of Christ, but, you know, to be honest, there's still a lot of, I think, issues with kind of that of moving beyond having, you know, it's kind of moving from this idea that the church is for us to the church is for all. And how can our congregations then be, you know, our buildings, for example, become places that we don't just focus on our buildings. And a lot of our congregations that I have experienced, I think sometimes do, you know, maybe get caught up in putting so much time and energy into the space that it becomes exhausted. You know, there's exhaustion for actually then moving out in faith and being disciples. And that's not, you know, and that's not a judgment call for where they're at, because it is where they're at. And, but, you know, more and more, I hear more and more congregations in Community of Christ that are recognizing, you know, we need to get out of our doors and we need to realize that this isn't just for us. This isn't just about our group. This is about, you know, the mission of Jesus kind of, you know, invites us, pushes us, kicks us out the door to go out into our communities. And so I think that we are in the middle of a shift, and I think that there is a lot of progress being made. And I think it's a very, you know, exciting time to be a part of Community of Christ, because in so many ways, I know for me, there's just this feeling of, we're getting it. We're finally getting it. Even if we still don't, you know, even if we're still working on what the big picture looks like, we're moving in a direction that is playing an important a piece of that big picture. And You know, I also just wanted to say this, though, about the youth ministry theme, because I read an article a few years ago that kind of talked about youth ministries. We do a lot. You know, we tend to focus a lot on youth ministries or this idea of what youth ministries should be. And I read an article that because churches give so much focus on youth ministries, their identity in the church becomes attached to their youth leader. It's not attached necessarily to God or the teachings of Christ. Essentially they make their youth leaders their God. So when they age out, that youth leader moves on to the next group of people, and they're left kind of in the desert, you know, without feeling like they have this identity anymore. And so I read an article that kind of talked about that a few years ago that I thought has always stuck with me, because I think it speaks to kind of this issue also, for those that do stay growing through their teenage years, but then this feeling of not having anything there for them after they're done, because we haven't incorporated them fully into the life of, you know, a congregation. We haven't mentored them into roles and responsibilities. We haven't, given them a sense of purpose, in the church. We've, you know, raised them to be, you know, a lot of the youth from my generation and younger, we kind of raised them, you know, it's all about you. It's all about you. And then they lose the perspective of, well, it's also about my neighbor. And, that becomes, I think, a lot, you know, really tough, because that's how youth ministry programs are focused on, is that it is all about them, but it's not about how they interact with community, with larger picture. And so when they become adults, they kind of, you know, get lost within that respect.
No, yeah, I could totally see that. And one of the things that I have appreciated hearing different people's stories, whether that be Art Smith or Steve Easy, just listening to their experiences, the few people that I have interviewed growing up in the churches, how they were plugged in from the leaders around them to actually take part of their local congregation. So Steve was talking about going out and doing home visits when he was a teenager. Right. And yourself, you know, like you said, at the age of 15, you were directing a camp. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And they were, you know, what was so, I think the lesson there that was so great is that, you know, I had a desire at like 13, which, you know, looking back now, that's quite young, but at 13 years old, I thought I could do this. You know, I was stubborn. I was, you know, prideful. I was determined. And so, you know, but they were said, instead of just telling me no, which would have been very easy to tell a 13-year-old, no, you're not directing to camp.
Yeah.
They worked with me on it was a congregational retreat, and the pastor said, well, why don't you help me plan this? And, you know, that was how I was mentored. And then later, you know, a few years later, I did at a young age, which is not common in our faith community, but at a young age, I did start directing, you know, camps, starting with the congregational retreat, and was directing my first, you know, youth camp at the age of 21. And so, yeah, I think that that's, it's important. And I think that you just, you know, gave a good example of other leaders as well that have had a similar experience that have stayed in the church. And it's because, you know, they have a testimony of being, you know, mentored in their discipleship when they were younger.
Right.
And when they wanted to respond to the call, when they felt, you know, a call to respond to, and asked to be involved, that leaders actually, you know, worked with them on that. And I think that's so, important. And I think that that's, you know, one of the ways that we can get back to just, you know, whether it be the Christian church, you know, in general, whether it be community of Christ, of getting, you know, our youth, our children, but, you know, and keep them engaged in the church, is by being more, you know, deliberate about those relationships, at a young age, because it really matters down the road.
Right. So yeah, when you're focusing on who are the leaders right now, they had those opportunities of being plugged in, and it wasn't just about them. It was very clear to them that, it was more than just them. So they were plugged into serving their community and then obviously being more civic minded. But I just have to wonder for those that weren't feeling like they had the opportunity, maybe they are a little bit more introverted or whatever it may have been. Are they still active now? You know, it's just one of those speculative questions that we could ask, you know, and I just wanted to ask you, what have you personally seen, apart from what we're just talking about here, that has worked and what hasn't worked for people that may be listening to this and what they could be doing with their youth in their areas?
Right. So I came to kind of an aha moment a few years ago where, you know, people in congregational leadership roles would ask, you know, how do we get youth involved? How do we start a youth program when we have nothing? You know, it'd be congregations that literally have no youth that want to dive right into it, or some that would, but they were kind of on the edges, not really participating in congregational life. And my response to that was kind of became, and I think it's not a response you would expect from a youth leader, was don't focus on the youth, don't start on just the youth. I think what we get in trouble sometimes is that we have this idea that that's a good idea, but it may not be what we're called to do. And so for me, what I really push back on congregations that might, you know, want to get involved in youth ministries, but really have, there's no foundation for where that's coming from other than that it's missing. We're worried that our congregation is going to die if we don't. And that's kind of what drives it. Instead of, you know, really praying, you know, discerning, you know, God, where are you leading us? And then to go out into your community and have these opportunities come up as you engage in mission. And then for me, a lot of times what happens, it could be that you're led to a specific that, you know, ministry that has to do with youth or children. But I tend to find that in congregations that engage in mission, youth ministries, children ministries tend to become a product of that mission. It tends to be born out of that movement instead of being the immediate focus, you know, youth. We put, you know, God as the focus and God, where are you calling me to? Then a lot of times I find that youth ministries might come out of that, especially as you you seek to bring ministry to families. That's one of the things that I also share back is don't focus on the youth right away. Focus on family ministry, and family of all forms, you know, family of all types. Because if you're also meeting the needs of the parents, then they're going to want to bring their youth. They're going to want to bring their kids, and then you're going to need to have something for them. And then that's where your youth ministry kind of comes to life. And so I think a good example of that to share with you, our congregation in Portland, Oregon, a few years ago, they were, you know, of a certain older age, a lot of them, the majority of them, and they then hired a full-time pastor. And she came in and started working with them on kind of engaging in mission and kind of getting beyond their beyond their comfort zones. And to the point where they were getting so involved in their community, but they've started growing. And they've started growing like crazy over the past few months alone. And one of the areas that they started growing was with children and youth. And to the point where they're, you know, having to look at, you know, how do we respond to this need? And so, they've started a youth group out of that, that has recently started. There's other opportunities that might come in the future with, because now they're having this youth, and part of it is new children and youth that are coming, but part of it is also their own members who are now bringing grandkids and stuff like that. So I think for me, you know, mission is contagious. If you're actually out there, you know, doing the work that you're called to do, and if you're fulfilling that purpose, it's also fun. And so you want to get others involved and you want to bring other people in to that. And so I think that that's kind of what they're seeing is one, they're bringing ministry to more people. So as new people come in, they're going to want to bring their kids with that as well. And it's an opportunity for youth ministries to then take shape. But also as we engage in the mission of Jesus Christ, then our own members and friends that are a part of the church are going to then want to also invite more and more people, which might be youth and relatives and stuff like that, that they're in contact with. And so Portland's a great example of a congregation that really started getting engaged in their community and with different missional endeavors and is now, you know, I think they're like double their attendance, if not more, over the past couple of years.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, if I remember correctly, which is pretty awesome. So
yeah, that is awesome, and I really like that focus on everybody, not just one specific group. It's just like, well, if we don't do something in the next decade, we're going to be dead. So,
yeah,
well, let's get the young ones to replace us. No, you got to get the people that are their same age as well to be bringing the younger people.
Right.
Yeah,
I think that's, you know, it gets back to that question of what drives you in your discipleship, what drives you in your faith. And if keeping the doors open 10, 20 years from now is what drives you, you're going to fall flat. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. But if what drives you is that you feel so compelled to live out, you know, the teachings of Christ and to invite people into this, you know, awesome experience where, you know, for community of Christ, you know, experience where, you know, we believe in the worth of all persons, or we believe that all are called to all have a, you know, a part to play, then, you know, things are going to happen. And I think that's, you know, an opportunity for congregations to engage in youth ministries in that way. But on the other hand of that, you know, it may not be youth ministries that they realize that that's what they're called to do. And that's fine as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's so there is kind of getting them to recognize sometimes, you know, that maybe where they're called is not youth ministries at this time. Maybe it's something totally different where they'll have no contact with youth. But awesome things are happening still because of it. And people's lives are being transformed. So
I really don't like talking about myself as much, but to bring it back to the investigator, because I was one myself back in 2014, coming from an LDS background, the Mormon church, we left a church that had four nurseries. That's how many kids there were. There's for the exact year of the age that our girls were in, there's probably about 10 or 15 of them. And there's about that many for every year going on up. And when we went to Salt Lake Community of Christ, it was, to say more or less, just a couple of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're like, what do we really want to bring our kids here where there are no kids? At that point, the Seth and Jen Bryant, who also worked for the church, they were back in California still. They weren't here in Utah yet. So literally, our kids were the only kids. And as being an investigator, I really loved what I saw the world churches being, although I did not like what I saw on a congregational level. And I just got this thought, I've got to be here with my own body, with my own kids, if other people are going to make that choice to stay there with their kids. And that wasn't easy. Brittany was probably the one that dragged me along to it. I'd show up some Sundays and it's just like, well, there's two cars here today, not very many people, you know.
Yeah.
What are we doing? You know, and she's like, oh. And she had helped me along too. It's just like, yeah, well, if we're here, other people will be there. So Salt Lake has kind of risen like a phoenix from the ashes, you know? So we have a lot of kids now. We have, maybe not so much in the age range that you deal with, you know, as far as high school students, we're still working on that. But as far as like kids that are my girl's age, and we have a boy named Grant's age, there's quite a few kids. They're that age. So, and that's awesome to hear that's happening up in Portland as far as that congregation. Is that happening in Eugene too? How's Eugene?
Eugene recently has, in the last couple of years, has experienced a baby boom. we're just, you know, there's been a lot of people that were at the right age and place in their life that they started having babies. And so we do have a lot of little ones. We don't, some of our, we have a kind of a youth group, but we've also had a lot of kids that have aged out over the past couple of years as well and become young adults. And so but Eugene is a pretty diverse and well-rounded congregation in terms of ages and perspectives, and it's still one of our Eugene is one of our larger congregations in our mission center. But yeah, we have a lot of little ones though, a lot of little ones that are now, which is, you know, I'm somebody that I love being in a worship service and, you know, hearing you know, a little kid in the back, or, you know, running up and down the aisles, or, you know, crying on the side because there's life there, you know?
Right.
Stuff is happening. And so that, to me, that's exciting. So it's
right. And at first we felt so bad about it. It's like the only kids were like, oh, we're so sorry. They're making so much noise. And they're like, no, we love it. Don't just let them we're just glad that you're here. And I just want to make that plug, just like stick around. If you want to see more kids show up, be the person that, I don't know, maybe you find that it doesn't work for you, but just stick around and have faith to see where it goes. At least give it a chance. Give it some time, you know?
Right. And I would even offer up one of the things that, you know, people might find in Community of Christ is a really supportive group, I think, supportive members. And so, you know, if you're new to a congregation and you're checking it out, as you get to know them and you have kids, you know, if they're involved with stuff in the community, whether it be, you know, theater or sports or whatever, you know, that might be. Of course, you know, for the really young ones, they wouldn't be to that age yet, but let them know about it. Cause my experience is that they'll come and they'll support your kids along with you at those events. You know, we have a lot of teenagers in our congregation that, you know, play sports, and, you know, we make sure that we can get the information from the parents or that we find it online for when their kids are playing. And so we go, and watch them play. There's somebody that a lot of us have been watching play basketball lately. And so there's the Community of Christ Row, and it's the largest, you know, kind of cluster of people that are there at that sports game.
Nice.
And, you know, what a, you know, great thing to do for a family and for a child, and to support them where they're at, you know, and then to support them in what they're passionate about. And so same for somebody that's new coming into a congregation, you know, I would tell my congregational leaders, you know, find out how you can get involved in that kid's life. But also then for those that are, you know, maybe seeking and checking out, you know, feel safe about sharing that with the congregational members or leaders, because you'll find people that will want to support your family in those opportunities and your kids.
Yeah, I love that. So in that way, the congregation is kind of like an extended family. It's like just one big family.
Right, which is definitely my experience growing up. I mean, you know, my birthday parties, you know, growing up was, you know, primarily, you know, like half of them were church people that would come to the, you know, just to celebrate every birthday growing up with me, you know, in addition to school friends or family. But, you know, like half the people there at least were people from the church, and that mattered. So.
Awesome. Well, I want to just end on you sharing kind of what you're doing right now and any good news that you may have for upcoming events and what's happening in the church right now.
Well, right now, for me personally, there's a lot of transitions, and transitions probably yet to come, but usually around this time of year, we're getting ready for our summer camping program. So I'm very busy getting ready for Spectacular, for our delegation's experience with Spectacular. And I didn't mention this before, but we also go, Northwest goes a few days early, and we kind of visit the Community of Christ auditorium and temple and get to know each other since we are so spread out. And so there's a lot of preparations for that as well.
So you caravan on in.
So we fly on in, and we spend 3 days in Independence, Missouri, at the church headquarters just down the road from there. And, you know, practice sports and get to know each other. And we actually lead the prayer for peace one day in the temple, and which is a cool thing. And the kids and staff get a tour of the temple and auditorium. And so it's cool. We're getting really ready for that. And just all the other summer, you know, youth camps in our mission center, we have 11 youth camps, caravan spec, and 5 reunions typically. On any given summer. So just a lot of preparation mode for that. And World Conference, of course, coming up, which I'll be attending. I've attended, I think, every single one since I was 15. So for the past, you know, 16 years now. And they were every other year for a while and for a long time. And
right.
The more recent years have been every 3 years. So it's about 7 or 8 or so that this will be my time attending. So I always look forward to that. And yeah, so those are kind of what's on the horizon and looking forward to. And
so, what's the dates for Spec this year?
So the dates for SPEC are July 23rd to the 30th. And then like for Northwest delegation, for example, we go out on July 20th for those few extra days. But July 23rd to July 30th are the official dates for Spectacular.
Do you know the next year that IYF, the International Youth Forum, will be?
I don't believe they've announced that.
Okay.
Yet.
Right. So going back to SPEC, one of the things that they've been doing in our local congregation is selling these travel mugs. Come pick up a travel mug for $10, and I guess the proceeds help out with the youth within the congregation to pay for part of the cost of SPEC.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think that's pretty, pretty common. We have a lot of, you know, congregations that will do fundraisers, to help get their kids to go to SPEC. I know one congregation in particular that, the Tuolumne congregation in Tigard, Oregon has a lot of youth there. And so they're doing a lot of lunches after worships on Sunday, or when maybe there's a special workshop that week and they provide a lunch for, you know, donation or whatever. A lot of fundraising. We have one congregation that they are right near, they're right a couple blocks from our fairgrounds. And so they park cars, you know, for 2 weeks a year, as well as in addition to the Saturday market, because they're also right next to where they have the Saturday market in the summertime, and they make a lot of money that way that they send kids to SPEC and as well as to youth camps and whatnot. So we have, for our caravan ministry, they sell different, you know, shirts, and they also sell different, you know, snacks and stuff like that, or at different events. They have a big annual auction where they make a lot of money to help fund that trip. So there's definitely a lot of, I think, fundraising that goes on a congregational level to help support, you know, ministries like sending, you know, like SPEC and sending kids to those events. So,
well, great. Well, thanks so much, Sean, for being on. It's been a real treat to have you on and talk about the youth of the church. And I'm just really pleased with where things are going, and really glad that you're a part of the mission center that you are and the things that you're doing. It's really good to hear.
Thank you. It was really good talking to you.
Okay, until we meet next time, thanks for listening. Project Zion is sponsored by the Latter-day Seekers team from Community of Christ. The views expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official views of the Latter-day Seekers team or of Community of Christ.